Welcome to Lecture 25 of the Practical Ministry Skills course. We're talking today about kinds of ministries. And this title here doesn't mean 25 kinds of ministries. It's number 25. Let's look at our key verse. We are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. Ephesians 2:10. The good things that He planned for us is the same as the God's work in Ephesians 4:12. God has given the church, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, to equip God's people to do God's work. That's the same thing as the good things. And that's the same thing as ministry. Ministry is the good things God has planned for us, the good work, God's work, that He has for us to do. That means there are ministries for everyone. Every Christian has a kind of ministry. I think I said this in the very first lecture. But pastor is not the only kind of ministry. Worship leader is not the only other kind of ministry. There are all different kinds of ministries. In the context of what I'm talking about today, we're looking at the context of a local church. And there are basically three kinds of ministries in a local church. There are the tasks to perform. There are some ministries are based around something that needs to be done. There are groups to serve. Some ministries are based around different kinds of people, different groups of people that need to be ministered to. And then there are the ministries that support the first two kinds of ministry and resource them and provide for them and make sure that they have what they need. In some churches, these groups are called committees. In some, they're called teams. In some, they might be called boards or councils or just groups. In one way, it doesn't matter what you call them. But in another way, each of those terms conjures up different images in people's minds. They have connotations. So, for instance, a committee implies a group of people mainly that sit around and make a decision. A team implies a group of people that work together to do something. A board implies a group of people who oversee what everybody else is doing. So, think about what in your setting these different terms might bring to the minds of your people. And you may want to, you may find that you might want to consider changing what you call from the evangelism committee to the evangelism team, something like that. That particular one I would not recommend calling a team, because anything that you want everybody to be doing, if you say team, that implies this is the group that does it. Now, one thing that you as the minister, and in this case, I mean the pastor, the lead person, church leader in the church, you're going to find that every one of these ministry groups is going to want you to be involved. First, because they may be a little hesitant and not quite so confident that they can do it without you. And second, perhaps because it implies that this is really important if the pastor's involved in it. The fact is, you can't be involved in all of them if you're going to grow beyond a fairly small size, or if you're going to be doing other things. I think we talked previously about the fact that a leader should be growing to the point where the only things a leader is doing are the things that only the leader can do. this is not just a principle from business world today. This is something you find in the Bible. You remember in Acts chapter 6, there arose a dispute in the church. Imagine that, a dispute in the church. Even in the Bible days. A dispute in the church between two groups that one felt that their group was being shortchanged in the food ministry. And they came to the apostles and they said, what are we going to do? This isn't fair. Get it straightened out. And the other group said, no, they're accusing us of stuff we're not doing. So here's the apostles' answer. We apostles should spend our time teaching the Word of God, not running a food program. And so, brothers, select 7 men who are well-respected and are full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will give them this responsibility. Then we apostles can spend our time in prayer and teaching the Word. Acts 6:2-4. Now, in this case, it was just men because of that culture, just men who came with the complaint and men who were chosen. It doesn't have to be. Even later in the Bible and the New Testament and other places, we find women taking on great responsibilities. But the point is, the apostles recognized that they had limited time and limited energy, and they needed to focus it into the things that only they could do. And it's the same with you as the pastor, as the lead minister. Ask God which one. It's probably good if you drop in occasionally on the meetings and make yourself available for a special request if your presence is needed. But don't get roped into feeling like you have to be in every meeting that ever happens. Okay, what are the ministries? Different churches will have different kinds of ministries. These are the ones that I see as going along with the 7 functions of a church. A church should be doing 7 different kinds of things. A church should be engaging in worship. A church should be taking care of the members. A church should be helping the members grow like Jesus, discipleship. A church should be involved in evangelism. A church should be involved in helping those who are in need. A church should be involved in making the world more like heaven, social influence. For instance, the Christian church was extremely involved in the abolition of slavery around the world. And the church should be involved in prayer. So 7 functions that I see that every church should be involved in to be a fully operational, well-rounded church. Worship, member care, discipleship, evangelism, aid, social influence, and prayer. And so if you're going to have each of these things needing to be done, it makes sense that you could pull together a group to be in charge of those. So you can have a worship ministry and a worship committee, a member care committee, a discipleship committee, an evangelism committee, an aid committee, a social influence committee, a prayer committee, or a team or board or group or council or whatever you want to call them. The important thing to recognize here is that, and this churches often get this wrong, both the people get it wrong and the people in the groups get it wrong. You can't get it wrong, and you need to make sure to correct it when they are getting it wrong, because the job of the ministry groups is not to do the ministries. The job of the evangelism committee is not to be the only people in the church that do evangelism. The job of the ministry groups is not to do the ministries, it's to organize and promote the ministries so everyone can do them. The Evangelism Committee should be encouraging everyone to do evangelism and giving opportunities and training about how to do that. The Discipleship Committee doesn't mean that every Sunday school teacher and Bible study leader is in the committee and nobody who is not on the committee is allowed to ever do any discipleship. That's not the case at all. The Discipleship Committee is to make sure that the church has the resources and the teaching and is devoting the time and equipping and training people who can equip and train other people in the ever-spreading drop a pebble in a pond and watch the ripples spread out kind of... I dropped him in a water bottle. Kind of expansion of discipleship. The prayer committee certainly should not be the only people in the church that pray. They should be encouraging people and training people and providing prayer resources. So the job of ministry groups is not to do the ministries, it's to organize and promote the ministries so everyone can do them. Those are the task-defined ministries. Then there are the group-defined ministries, the ministries that exist not to accomplish a task, but to serve a group. So the most common is probably the age group ministries. In almost any church, you'll have something special for the children, for instance. And I just love this one. The disciples are there. Jesus is there with the children up at the top. And one of the, probably Peter or somebody, is saying to the others, "I know he said to let the little kids come to him, but I really think he'd want Andrew or somebody to handle the junior highs." That's ages 12 to 14. But somebody else, take care of them. So there are age groups, there's children, but then you may have a youth group for teens. You may have a special group for your seniors, your older people that have different needs or interests or abilities than your adults who get out and who are actively in the workplace and taking care of families and so on. And they may need a special ministry of their own. There are men's groups and women's groups. There are life situation groups. Maybe you have a group for widows, or you maybe have a group for somebody else that's in a certain kind of a life situation. There are support groups for people who are in a place where they need the support of others, people that are addicted, alcoholics or drug addicts, who are recovering, who are getting out of that. It's very helpful to be around others who have gone through that, who can walk them through that and support them through those different kinds of difficult times in their life or situations. And there are interest groups. Just you got people that like to watch birds, and so have a bird watching group, and they can gather to go and have bird watching walks and open it with prayer and talk about how the beauty of this bird reflects God's creativity, and the way this other bird protects its nest reflects how God takes care of us. All kinds of things like that, all kinds of interest groups. So various different kinds of group-defined ministries. And these, all of these kinds of ministries are for, the group-defined ministries especially, are helpful in helping people gather outside of the Sunday morning church time for a smaller relationship-building time. If you have more than about 12 people in your church, then neuroscience has shown that the brain chemistry changes and the way that we relate to people changes, as you get to different sizes of groups. And so if you can have a group that is smaller than the group that meets on Sunday morning, and they're not so structured, not the same time, not all the same expectations about how long it'll be and where it'll be and what you'll do, then you can develop better relationships among each other and really help each other out, not only in the support groups, but in the life situation groups, the interest groups, various other kinds of things. And those can be very easy to invite non-church people into. If you have a neighbor who's interested in watching birds but doesn't come to church, invite them along to your church bird watching group, and they'll get to see what great, wonderful people you have in your church, and then maybe they'll start coming to the church. And you can talk about Jesus to them and so on. All right, you have your task groups, task-defined groups in your ministries, and your group-defined ministries. You also have support ministries that provide the resources for the other two. If you're almost anything that you're going to want to do in any of these task groups, task ministries, or group ministries, is going to require some money. It might require some the use of some kind of property or resources. It may need some administrative kind of stuff, scheduling or whatever. And so money and property and personnel and administration, those are all support ministries. Your finance committee, your, in many cases, a property committee is called the trustees or something like that. You might have a personnel committee that helps try and find the best suited person to fill a particular position that needs to be filled in the church. You've got people that just take care of all the administrative details. We'll be talking about those in future lectures. But as a pastor, Ephesians 4:12 says your job is to equip the people to carry out the ministries. And that makes you the minister, the pastor in a church, the lead minister in a ministry. That makes you the main resourcing and support person. The pastor is the main support minister. In other words, a big part of your job is to make sure that your leaders and your workers in all kinds of ministries are trained and equipped and encouraged. The pastor is the church's main support minister. You help make sure that everybody else is able and ready to do their job. How do all of these things fit together? Well, there's something that I read someplace, I'm not sure where I saw it, it was years ago, called the Ministry Matrix. And what you do with this is you take your task ministries on the left, worship, member care, discipleship, evangelism, aid, social influence, prayer. You take your group ministries across the top, and here I have just put in, off the top of my head, children, youth, women, and addiction support. You could have different ones. Yours may extend off farther to the right with five or six more different groups. And you may have different tasks, depending on how you define things for you. But the idea of the ministry is, or the matrix, is to see how the task ministries and the group ministries work together. You want them to work together, to cross each other, and it's a way of making sure that nobody is left out and everybody is able to help and support everybody else. It keeps your church from getting divided up into little cliques. So, for instance, if worship committee is planning something, We're going to have a special Easter celebration. Then the children's ministry people should say, okay, great, how do the children fit in that? The youth people should say, okay, great, how do the youth fit into that? The women's ministry can say, well, how can the women's ministry support that? And the addiction support might say, is there a way that we can use this to help the people that are having those kinds of issues? The same with all of your other activities, discipleship. You're having Bible studies, and so you're starting a whole new series. You're going to have a big discipleship program where people are going to meet in homes and all study together this particular Bible study. And so, again, the children's ministry says, great, what are you going to do with the kids? See, the discipleship folks, could be none of them have any kids. They don't even think about that question. Children's ministry thinks about that question. And so on. You go on through the other things. And it works as well, in different ways as well, too. The youth ministers should be looking and saying to each of the task ministries, how can we be involved? How can the youth be involved in worship? How can the youth be involved in helping take care of our members? Maybe we've got some old people that can't mow their grass, and so the youth will go and volunteer to mow the grass for them. How can the youth be involved in this or that or the other? How can the women, how can the support groups? It's a way of crossing and making sure that everybody is involved and nobody is left out in all the different things, and they support and encourage each other instead of working at cross purposes. The last thing to mention about the ministries is that you need to have some policies to lay things out so that everybody understands what's happening and you're not getting into confusion, not getting people upset because of misunderstandings. So having clearly laid out what each group does, especially if there are boundaries, if there are overlaps, which group is responsible for what kinds of things, how the groups relate to each other, if there is, that's the ministry matrix, but there also may be, you know, what's the border between the children and the youth, and what's the border between evangelism and discipleship, and how do they relate to each other, and how do we transition people from the evangelism committee has brought in, who are brand new Christians, brand new to the church, how do we transition them in and hand them over to the discipleship committee? Those kinds of things. And how people become a part of the group. If somebody wants to be on your worship committee, do you just automatically allow them because they volunteer, or do you allow them, bring them on because somebody appointed them, or do you ask for volunteers? We'll be talking a little bit about some of those things in future sessions. But it's good to have ideas and have these things figured out as much as you can. And you'll probably, as your church grows and develops, or you move to different churches or different situations arise, you'll need to adjust these things. And it's good to have a policy set ahead of time of how you go about adjusting these things. But ministry is what the church is all about. Don't let it get to where it's all about a personality, it's all about a building, it's all about anything like that. The good works that God created us to do ahead of time, that's what it's all about. I'll see you next time.